Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Roar. Tournament time. Wildcat Thursday. You feeling purple? Got some problems in Washington. I don't know if you've heard. Politics Thursday. We got a lot to do. But first we dance. This is Mark Harmon's favorite part. Listen, this is where it gets a little funky.
Goodbye, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Yes, I'm going.
Welcome, 611, Steve Cochran, and this is show number 862. There's no significance whatsoever. I don't know why I started counting the shows. I just did. And today on the program, along with the previously mentioned, Dave Ennett will declare whether or not he is dead. Dave Ennett was on the program yesterday with, do we know if it was the flu?
We don't. He denied it was an undisclosed illness, Steve.
He sounded like death warmed over yesterday. We were very concerned for the team, not so much for Dave. We want Dave to live, obviously.
We do. Absolutely.
But in the meantime, we don't want him anywhere near the team. Do we know if he actually went to practice yesterday?
Oh, he was there. There are pictures from Twitter.
Why wasn't he banned?
Adam Phillips was posting some pictures, yeah. Mm.
Why wasn't he banned? Why wasn't he stopped at the door?
I think Jim Phillips is not doing his job.
I didn't see Dave in the pictures, did you? On Twitter, actually there?
No, but it was a tweet. It was a picture from Dave's account. I would think that Dave's taking his own pictures.
Oh, it was from Dave. Oh, this isn't good.
He could have wandered out of the room in some sort of hallucinatory state.
Hallucinatory.
I just made that up.
He should have a mask on.
He should wear a mask at all times.
Yes.
Even when he's healthy. But we'll check in with Dave later on in the program in the 9 o'clock hour to be human about the whole thing. And Brian Campbell will be on today as well. Let's do the top six at six right now.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
We actually have breaking news in a special edition of the top six at six. Just announced in the past 10 minutes, a Maryland judge has jumped in along with a judge from Hawaii. And now there are two federal judges who say the Trump travel ban cannot stand, and the Hawaiian restraining order, which, by the way, comes with a lay, the Hawaiian restraining order will stand in the short term. This is likely to go to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court won't rule on this, if in fact it does, until next fall. So much for illegals pouring into the country. Remember that was the big argument?
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop this. We have to stop this now because illegals are pouring into the country. Well, apparently not so fast because the Maryland judge has chimed in as well. Next! The president has continued problems with his biggest issue, and his biggest issue, of course, is what? Anyone? Anyone?
Pick one.
Himself?
Let's see. Wait, let me get at the Rolodex here.
That would be Russia. That would be Russia. And yesterday, extra layer to the Russian trouble, which really has nothing to do with Trump. Three Russian government spies were indicted for the Yahoo breach. Yahoo! The Yahoo breach last fall, I believe. 500 million Yahoo accounts were hacked. And in this case, these three indicted spies are allegedly going to be returned to America. The problem is they're in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Putin going, put them on the plane. But at this point, the symbolism of arresting or attempting to arrest Russian government officials for the first time is a big deal. So
it is. I'm picturing Putin going, let's call them. How have they been?
President Trump, you'd like these three? next. President Trump also yesterday said that he's not giving in, not giving up anything. We'll talk to Chuck Todd about this. How much more time are we going to waste on this ridiculous claim that Obama wiretapped Trump? And yesterday he said, in the next 2 weeks, this is his move. It's always 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. In the next 2 weeks, something else is going to come out. You're going to be very surprised. I think you're going to be very interested to see what's coming. He's got nothing.
I think it's methodical that they keep pushing it back,
yes.
too, because Comey was supposed to say something yesterday.
Yes, 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 and he's waiting now, waiting for something to fall into his lap. Next! The Hawks back in first place, but Artem Anisimov is out for how long? Let's go live now to Mark Carman, who has had a lower body injury for quite some time.
We're looking at a 3 to 4 weeks, Steve, so he should be back right before the end of the regular season.
So in time for the playoffs.
Yeah, no biggie. I mean, it's not great, but could be a lot worse, right?
Is your own lower body injury part of the reason you're single?
Yeah, probably. It's okay. Possible. I got an upper body, too, though, so we got...
go both going.
Yeah, we got, right shoulder... I don't mean to be so specific.
Dismal.
I know that's anti-NHL. So, but it is. It's a right shoulder and a lower body. I'll leave
you,
that one.
Do you find the whining that you do about your situation could be why you're single as well?
Yeah, I do. I think that your attitude in life does determine your altitude. Somebody told me that once, Steve.
Attitude determines altitude.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, not that much.
I like that a lot.
Next! This surprised me. And for a moment, I found myself, going a little weak.
Rod
Blagojevich has been in prison for 5 years.
Steve Cochran wants Blago out?
Not in sit-up.
Okay. You want him out in 10?
Yeah.
Cochran, no.
I'm going to cut the number.
Whoa.
I'm going to cut the number to 10.
Wait for it.
Yeah, because he is 60 years old now, and his hair's never looked worse. He's 60 years old now. If he could get out at 65, how much damage could he do? So I'm good with 5 more years.
Remember what he did? Remember the whole Senate seat, effing Golden?
Oh, he ruined it. He helped ruin the state. It's absolutely impossible to quantify how much damage he did.
The Children's Hospital.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
65 is very young, too, these days.
Yeah. Well, not if you spend 10 years in prison.
Not if you're
prison takes its toll. Look what it did to me.
Right? It's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That is crazy, though, that you're changing like this. You always said 14.
I don't know why it struck me, but I guess at 5 years, I didn't realize it had been 5 years. That doesn't seem like that long.
It doesn't. Remember the chase, too? Not the chase, but the drive to prison, and he stopped and got a hamburger. It was like OJ Revisited.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Next. And finally tonight, this just happened to me. For those of you wondering, I should get to the gym. Oh, I should do something. A 70-year-old man has run 7 marathons in 7 days.
Isn't that incredible?
He's 70. He's run 7 marathons in 7 days. Let's go around the room. How many marathons have I run? Well, that would be zero. Zero marathons in 7 days and all the days that I've been alive. You ever run a marathon?
No, but I'm going to try and do the Shamrock Shuffle this year.
Good
That's
start.
Almost as long.
Well, if you run
five or six or
seven of them. Carmen, marathon?
I play tennis.
Uh-huh.
Took a steam last night.
Jake, you ever run a marathon?
I watched Mark Carmen play tennis.
Sandberg, you ever run a marathon?
I've done 3 half marathons.
That's a marathon and a half. And the only one on the show that's actually run a marathon, I believe, is you, right, Vanderbilt?
No, I didn't run. Remember, I sprained my ankle and I missed it?
Oh, that's right.
I've only run 12 miles. Didn't even do a half.
Grzanich ran a marathon, but we had a piece of cake tied to the back of a Buick that he chased.
Actually, the last time I ran, I was 10 years old. So.
And that was when someone was chasing you?
Right.
Yeah.
His mom chased him around the house.
Right.
Clean the room.
I'm actually running a marathon, but I'm doing it in tenths of a mile.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I run a tenth of a mile. I take a couple of weeks off. I come back. I run another tenth of a mile.
So at least you get it all in.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll take a few months, but we're going to get it done. But I salute the old guy. 70 years old, 7 marathons, 7 days.
That's awesome. That's crazy.
Collectively, the rest of us suck. It's 6:19. There's your top 6 at 6. We'll revisit a bunch of those stories later on, including a story. I just haven't gotten to this all week. There are a bunch of people who are knitting sweaters for chili chickens.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned this yesterday.
Yes. Chili chickens get chilly, and they need sweaters. People making sweaters to keep chickens warm.
So when you said chili chicken the first time, I thought it was like a dish.
No.
So did I. I'm like, chili chicken?
That you're going to put it in the oven and make
chili chickens, as in chickens that are cold. Yes.
What?
I'm serious. Yeah. Sweaters. Sweaters for chickens that get cold.
They have matching little hats?
I don't know. I like the idea, though.
What to see. What's out at the show? I need to know the place and when.
I'll say good morning to Don, my favorite listener.
But there's one guy on GN's Cochran show. And what he says will make us stay or go.
Don never misses a show. We don't agree on politics, but Don, thanks, buddy. Appreciate the support. And the text. Entertaining texter as well. It's 6:25. Quick reminder, I just re-upped my license the other day by mail. You know, if you're a safe driver, if you're a safe driver, you can do it by mail now, which is very convenient.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so I re-upped my license, but I also re-registered for the organ donor program.
Oh, good, as you should.
So for those of you who think you're in the organ donor registry because you were in it once a while ago, you're probably not. It's changed a couple of times, and you need to re-register. It takes about a minute.
Did you take a new? You didn't take a new picture though, so you'll use the same.
No, same Joliet prison picture.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm just curious because it's not a bad look for you.
Well, it's realistic. It looks like I just got out of jail. At 6:25, Nick DiGilio standing by. Let's go to Nick now. And Nick and I met in prison, so that's kind of interesting how that tie would have come up.
Yeah, I can't wait to get back.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. We got a bunch of movies to talk about here.
We do. And by the way, happy birthday. I didn't get a chance to say that to
you. Well, you texted me, and I appreciate that.
I did. And also, I'm sure you know this, but you know it's Albert Einstein's birthday on yours as well.
Yes. Well, Albert Einstein and the other great genius of our time, Rick Dees. Yeah. Rick Dees and Albert Einstein often mentioned in the same breath.
I had no idea about Rick Dees. That's fantastic.
Isn't that great? Yeah. Yeah, Beauty and the Beast. All right, so for people like me who have a daughter who missed one of the first movies you ever took your kid to, this is a sweet thing. But is there any animation in this, or is this all live action?
Oh, no. No, it's all live. I mean, there's the Beast is, you know, it's an actor, but he's under CG, you know, effects. But it's all live action, and it's essentially, you know, the musical from 1991. I can't believe the movie's 25 years old. The animated movie, and it's also inspired by the Broadway musical that came out of the animated movie. And I have as much interest in this as going back to prison.
Well, yeah, well, I would think. No, but Nick wouldn't want to go to this.
Oh.
I mean, it'd be creepy.
I'm so excited. Aren't you, Andrea? I want to go so bad.
I do kind of want to see it, yeah. Oh. It's piqued my interest a little bit. I love the animated one.
I'm going with my daughter and my daughter-in-law for sure.
I'm trying to get Ross and Lauren to take Abigail to their to her first movie somewhere else so I could take her to this with Amy.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that's
Amy
cute.
And Abigail and me.
See, that's cute. You should do that.
Yeah, she's a little bit young.
Yeah, well, so am I. You know?
Right.
But so we'll find out later on from people who actually want to see it what they think of it. But you heard any buzz?
Yeah, I hear it's okay. It's, you know, it's that people don't like it as much as the original animated movie. And the one thing about historically, the interesting thing about Beauty and the Beast, the original animated movie, it was the first animated movie to be nominated for Best Picture. It was the very first one. And I think the only one to be nominated for Best Picture. But it was groundbreaking in that regard.
Toy Story never got nominated?
I don't think, not for Best Picture.
Wow,
because I think by that point, they began the animated feature category, and it knocked out all the animated features from getting nominated for Best Picture. So,
okay. What's the Belko experiment?
Okay, the three horror movies are coming out this weekend, and I'm much more excited about that than I am about Beauty and the Beast. Belko experiment is one of them. It's about 80 people who are in an office building that gets shut down, and they're trapped inside the office building, and a voiceover says that they have to start killing people every 30 minutes or they're all going to die.
That doesn't seem nearly as much fun as Beauty and the Beast.
Tony Goldwyn is in it. Michael Rooker is in it. A bunch of other people. The guy who wrote it is a guy named James Gunn, who's responsible for Guardians of the Galaxies and a great horror movie from a bunch of years ago. Well, he's responsible for a lot of really great stuff. The guy who directed this is a guy named Greg McLean, who's responsible for a great horror film called Wolf Creek. The buzz on this is really, really big and really good if you're into that kind of thing. So it's a bunch of people. It's like a combination of Office Space, you know, and Kill or Be Killed.
And The Purge, sort of, no?
The Purge, yeah, a little bit like The Purge, except that, you know, they're trapped inside the office building. And how many times have you been in an office building and wanted to kill everybody in there?
There are times where you go into an office building and, you know, it's got an excessively long hallway. And I know you do this, Nick, where you go, oh, you could shoot a movie here. You could do something in this hallway. This hallway. Personal shopper.
Personal Shopper is Kristen Stewart's new film, who has become a really interesting and terrific and wonderful actress who started out, you know, in these terrible Twilight movies. But now she's doing like these really challenging, interesting, weird, independent movies. And this is a French film where she plays
Personal Shopper.
Yeah, exactly.
Personal Shopper.
That's right. Yeah. She's a personal shopper for a celebrity. And she begins to have the ability to communicate with ghosts. And she contacts her dead twin brother. And then all kinds of weird stuff happens. And this is supposed to be terrific. And Kristen Stewart is supposed to be great, and it's supposed to be very scary.
I have a theory on Kristen Stewart, which has no basis in science or fact. And that's why you should get your own show so you can shoot stuff like this out there. But I've seen her on talk shows recently, and she seems like a different person. And I think since she came out, she relaxed, and she's happy, and she seems to be in a committed relationship, and she's who she wants to be, and I think it's changed her.
I agree with you, and I also think that she just makes really interesting choices. Mm-hmm. And she's been in a lot of really good films, and she's really good in them. And she did a great, shockingly, because you don't think of her as somebody who could be funny or with a sense of humor. She was terrific when she hosted SNL.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
Nick, what was the movie where she was the soldier at Gitmo? It was really a powerful.
It was a great movie. It came out a couple years ago. I'm blanking on the title of it right now. But it was good. She was great in it.
Yeah, I think she's
was
very
it called
good
The
too.
Soldier at Gitmo?
It was something.
No,
it was something with Guantanamo
Bay. Was it called
title.
Kristen, the Soldier at Gitmo?
No, I'll find out the name. Okay. But she was really good in it.
Raw, is this the Eddie Murphy special? Are they bringing that back?
No. This is the one I'm most looking forward to for the weekend because it's the sickest. It's another French film. It's about a woman who is a staunch vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And she goes to veterinary school, mm-hmm. and gets hazed and gets seduced and starts eating raw meat, which leads her to cannibalism.
Ah, boy, that old tale.
Yep, and this movie has caused walkouts. People have fainted.
Gee, I wonder why.
And I can't wait to see it. It's going to be at the Music Box. I love the fact that you can make movies like this. And because it's French, it's at an art house.
Could you see that pitch meeting? I have this idea.
Right.
Yeah.
You do wonder how people get money for certain things. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. Bill Paxton's final film is being released. Yeah. Was this completed?
Yeah, it's completed. It just makes me so sad to even say that. Bill Paxton's final film just makes me really sad. One of
crazy.
My favorite actors. Yeah, it's about his kid. His son is a 15-year-old kid. He steals a bunch of drug money, runs away with the girl he loves, and then Bill Paxton plays the corrupt, crazy cop father of his who tries to track him down and get the money back and perhaps kill them. It's playing in about 4 theaters. If you want to see Bill Paxton's last movie on the big screen, it'll be out this weekend, and I believe as of tomorrow it'll be available on video on demand.
And it's called Mean Dreams.
Mean Dreams, yeah, Mean Dreams.
All right, and you're going to do Rear Window where and when?
Tuesday, April 11th at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. Tickets are on sale right now. You can go to Fandango.com. Tickets are going pretty good for this one. I think it's going to be a big crowd. You don't really get a chance to see Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window on the big screen the way it's meant to be seen. And
you sure you don't want to replace it with Raw?
That depends on how I feel after I see it. Uh-huh. I can't wait to see it.
Probably won't feel like having sushi. It's again the film club screening of Rear Window Tuesday, April 11th at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
That's right. Okay. Thank you, man.
That is the great Nick DiGilio, and we are back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
But if you take a look at some of the things written about wiretapping and eavesdropping, and don't forget, when I say wiretap, those words were in quotes. That really covers, because wiretapping is pretty old-fashioned stuff, but that really covers surveillance and many other things. And nobody ever talks about the fact that it was in quotes, but that's a very important thing. But wiretap covers a lot of different things. I think you're going to find some very interesting items coming to the forefront over the next 2 weeks.
President Trump on Fox last night. He's such a terrible liar. You would think somebody that does it as much as he does would get better at it. I don't know.
It is true, right?
Yeah. Chuck Todd joins us, our friend Chuck Todd, the most important voice in politics on television as far as I'm concerned, and daily on your MTP Daily and also on Meet the Press every Sunday. Hi, Chuck.
Mr. Cochran, good morning. Thank you for those words.
How much more time do you think we're going to waste on something that could have been over very quickly, the wiretapping thing? Because now we're into the Trump move.
Say, like, which subject are you going to here? the attempt on the travel ban, healthcare.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So what, that could have been the start of a lot of questions. On the wiretapping thing, I think this is the closest you get to Donald Trump admitting he's wrong. Well, I wasn't saying it that way. That's why I put it in quotes. Those are air quotes.
Right.
He is trying to walk it back. By next week, he will be saying, I never said Obama was trying to wiretap me. I don't know where you got that. You know, you could see where I think this is going. But this is the issue. I mean, he just shoots from the hip. Look what he did to these. So the ban gets shot down by a judge in Hawaii. And he starts inferring that, you know, it was first part of a Muslim ban. I mean, his own lawyers must be hitting their head against the wall.
Last night in Nashville, he called it watered down, words that every lawyer says are going to come back to haunt him. A Maryland judge jumped on board this morning as well. And there's a story in Politico this week that morale in the White House is just below the bottom level. That employees at the White House are afraid to bring their own phones in because they're afraid the youth Nazi party may be looking at them and turning them in. It's a hot mess all over. And we even heard words that maybe General Mattis threatened to resign over a White House staffer who is blocking appointees. Yeah. Rumors aside, because you actually deal in facts, you can't deny all of it, right? I mean, all of this creates a critical mass. That how do you run a government when the people on your own team are walking around wondering why they work there?
Look, today is the end of week 8 of this presidency. And it feels like a car that's been stuck in the mud. You know, they still can't get their temporary travel ban, however they want to word it. They still can't get that out legally. Healthcare is not just stalled. They may have taken a step back. I mean, you're going to start seeing Republican governors saying, keep Obamacare. I'd rather have that than this. The budget is a joke, what they just put out. I mean, it's not a real budget that they put out. It's more like a political press release. What you mentioned, we got this. Basically, there are no deputy cabinet secretaries anywhere. This is a presidency that needs desperately to reboot. It's starting to go off the rails.
Chuck, what's the point of Comey and everybody? You know, it seems like we were talking just before you came on with us. It's always pushed back. Like, you know, there's going to be a statement today. No, we're going to wait a week. Though next week, it'll be pushed back a day. I mean, what is the point of pushing everything off? Is it so that maybe we forget or a new issue arises? I mean, is that methodical?
No, I think this is what you're talking about on the Comey stuff.
Yeah.
Has to do with members of Congress trying to force him to say something now, and he keeps trying to hold them off. That's the way I would interpret that. This is, whether it's Lindsey Graham, John McCain, whether it's Adam Schiff or Mark Warner, you know, these are folks in Capitol Hill that are looking for Comey to provide some more public cover for them, and he won't do it, won't confirm some things. So they're trying to pressure him to do that. This may all come to a head on Monday when he finally does testify publicly in front of the House Intel Committee.
Does Paul Ryan take the fall for this? Because
for healthcare, 100%, no question about it. It's where the White House is good. I mean, you can see that writing on the wall. I have Paul Ryan on my MTP Daily Show today.
Right.
He put it this way: he is acting as if he knows this is on him. He is, you know, he is trying to save this thing. Look at the way. What did it take? President Trump left like 25 minutes before he even mentioned the word healthcare.
Right.
And then, you know, he was very careful to say that he supports the bill that the House Republicans have put out. Hint, hint, hint. Ain't my bill. No, it's pretty clear Ryan's being set up as a fall guy here.
Okay, so will that ruin his chances of being president someday or actually help him, John?
Oh, I. you, you, let's one week at a time here.
maybe one tweet at a time, 1 hour at a time.
Yeah, one tweet at a time.
Let's see if this, can he be an effective speaker after this. I mean, this would be a big, look, they can't afford to do nothing on health care as a party. They just can't, which has been Paul Ryan's message to every Republican that complains to him about this, and then saying, hey, look, I'm just trying to fulfill the promise that everybody around this capital has made for the last 6 years, which politically, I get where he's coming from.
Sure.
But that's the problem here, is that he's trying to, Paul Ryan, the ultimate policy wonk, is desperately trying to use a political argument to salvage health care. And I think many people know that Ryan knows that this is sort of a policy nightmare.
Ryan's a very smart guy, and he knows he can't get this through the Senate, so why would he even bring it to the floor in the House, even if he has the votes, which apparently he doesn't know?
That's the thing, and you now have Senate Republicans going, who used to be House members, hey, guys, don't vote for something that you're not sure can get through the Senate, because you're going to be owning it on your own. You know, ask House Democrats, remember who voted for cap and trade, and the Senate decided not to do it. And all those House Democrats had to own both health care and cap and trade in that 2010 midterm, or at least those Senate Democrats only had to own health care. So I think you're going to have, I don't know how Paul Ryan recovers from this if it doesn't go down, but I think they got to come up with something, because they have to do something. But they are in such a jam, because they statutorily put themselves, the logical thing to do here, and what the president desperately wants to do, is to punt health care for 6 months. Go to tax reform, maybe go to infrastructure. But they statutorily, they passed a law in January that sort of, they knew they were going to have to do this without a filibuster, right? Because they needed to do it with what's called budget reconciliation.
Yep.
But in order to do that, they had to agree essentially to do health care first. So they have to do this health care fix, whatever they're going to do, before they even pass the budget. But then they have to pass the budget in order to pass the health care bill. I mean, they've put themselves in such a legislative quandary here that I don't know how to get out of it, and it's going to be just a big, like I said, they're stuck in the mud now. I may say the same thing in 3 months.
Worst game of Twister ever. Yeah. Plug for Meet the Press on Sunday?
Yes, watch it, please.
you don't need help in Chicago. No, the numbers here are great.
No, we're doing well. We're lining up now. I think we're going to be talking health care and budget from the administration, and we're going to be talking, Monday morning is the first House Intel hearing on Russia and the interference in the election. So basically, those are our two big topics.
There's a larger question, which we don't have time here to do, but we'll take up later, possibly politics here and later with Chuck as well. But there's a view of the world that goes with Trump's view, that goes with Steve Bannon's view, that goes with the 40 to 45%, depending on the poll, of the base. But that view is not the country's view of the world. And it's a dark view. It's the clouds are forming. It's the we need to spend an incredible amount of money on the military. We need more nukes, not less nukes. If social programs get hurt, we have to protect America because the enemies are at the gate. The larger question for me is, will the 40 to 45% and the dark clouds view drive the view for the majority of the country because he's president, or will people stand up against it? And I just believe that people will stand up against it because, again, that critical mass thing, more of that is building. So we'll take that up at some point, but that's troubling me, Chuck.
I think so, too. I mean, I think you have some people in the White House. I mean, look, Steve Bannon has all but said it. He does believe we're going into some, tearing the administrator straight down to rebuild it. They need the country to have a dark view in order to make radical changes. And right now, his core, maybe 35% of supporters share the view. That's it right now. And I think the question is whether, are they going to try to manipulate the situation to make people feel darker about themselves? That might be the desperation that they're in.
Yeah, if anybody shares this concern, don't watch Wag the Dog this weekend. Chuck, see you on MTP Daily every day on MSNBC and Meet the Press on Sunday.
You got it. Got Paul Ryan today, actually, on MTP Daily.
Oh, today. Excellent. All right. Good luck with that. Good luck. I hope he doesn't break down. It's 6:54. I feel bad for Paul Ryan.
I do, too. He is completely the fall guy.
Yeah.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Under budget, ahead of schedule.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Where, essentially, I'm the president.
On Chicago's very own.
I love Chicago. I know Chicago.
720 WGN.
No, you don't. No, you don't. 7-Eleven. And Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune joins us. Chicago Tribune, and more importantly to me, Rick, because I'm selfish, Sunday mornings on the Sunday Spin.
Yes, indeed. 7 to 9 a.m. on Sundays. And this Sunday we've got Northwest Side Alderman Amaya Pawar, who is a Democratic candidate for governor.
Let's start locally, if we can. Mayor Emanuel said, let's not do this one-day teacher strike. Is that likely to happen?
This is something where the teachers still enjoy a lot of support among the public, more support than Mayor Emanuel. So we know what this battle is between the mayor and the teachers, and that the teachers will do what the teachers will do.
So going forward, what is on the mayor's agenda? What are his big problems right now?
Well, one big problem is school funding. We still have the issue of the $215 million for teacher pensions for the city that was vetoed by the governor. The governor said it was supposed to be part of a larger deal on state public pensions. You have that issue that would result in the lessening of school days for Chicago public schools. That issue isn't getting resolved anytime soon in Springfield, as is really anything else going on in Springfield.
By the way, a poll yesterday in Illinois, who's less popular? Mike Madigan, Governor Rauner. Take your shot. Who's less popular? Guess. I know you know the answer. I was asking Andre.
I'm saying Rauner, according to the poll.
Rauner?
I know I saw Rauner down yesterday, so I'll say Rauner.
I'd go Madigan.
Madigan is the answer.
Yeah.
Governor Rauner has a 31% approval rate, just above cauliflower. And Mike Madigan is at 28%, just above a rash.
Both good numbers.
Not good. Not good. Not good at all.
But there you go. That's going to be, that's 2018. There's your theme right there. That's what it's going to be. I mean, seriously. And truly, for Madigan to have even the name recognition he has is a result of the governor kind of using him as a poster child for everything that's wrong in Springfield and using his finances to be able to make that point. But truly, that is the 2018 race for governor right there.
Well, and I feel like I've done my part to make sure that everybody knows who Mike Madigan is as well.
Yes, you have.
The Mike Madigan game, we forgot to do this yesterday. Mike, at the end of the show, Mike Jacobson, at the end of the show, make sure you have the appropriate effects ready if Mike Madigan doesn't show up. He's invited on the show every day. So far, we are 0 for 862.
Yep.
Andrea, say hi to Rick.
Hi, Rick. What are you thinking of? I saw Chris Kennedy out at the parades, Alderman Pawar, Pritzker possibly again. What do you think of Rauner's chances are of winning re-election? Or if any... Go ahead.
It's so early right now, and I think most people certainly aren't focused on that. Although I will say that I think Democrats, in the end, really do not want to have an expensive primary battle that kind of reveals some faults of whoever the nominee will be, given the hurdles it will take to run against Governor Rauner. And of course, Democrats you've got kind of this kind of a two-sided coin here of you've got the progressive wing of the party that's Pawar, that's more like perhaps Evanston Senator Daniel Biss. You've got the establishment wing of the party, which is truly what I guess you would say is Chris Kennedy and J.B. Pritzker. You've got one side that says, you know, let's have somebody who's got a lot of money to take on Rauner, who has a lot of money. And that allows unions and other Democratic ally support groups to be able to fund legislative races. But then you've got the more progressive wing that, as we saw, you know, play out kind of in the presidential, saying, you know, it's enough of the big money kind of politics. Let's have a grassroots kind of progressive. So that battle's got to wend its way out.
Pat Brady, say hi to Rick.
Rick Pearson, how you been?
I've been good. How about you?
It's living the dream. What is up with our new Michael Madigan, Susana Mendoza? She is on a tear the last couple weeks.
Even on a tear this morning, put out a statement regarding funding. There's a state grant that goes to first providers who die in the line of duty, and the state is unable to make those grant payments because of the lack of a budget. And she was on a tear this morning with a press release out blaming Governor Rauner. I mean, this is a position of where it's a Democrat in a place where they can make a series of attacks regarding the state's number one problem, the lack of a budget. And she has always been outspoken, and there's no reason to believe she's going to stop anytime soon.
Well, her predecessor was outspoken and ended up losing. Is she willing to just continue to take the fall for Madigan and see what happens?
Well, her predecessor was a Republican, described herself as Governor Rauner's wingman.
Well, let's not kid ourselves. Suzanne Mendoza is a riding shotgun for Madigan, too.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, it's, you know, this is just partisan politics. There's no doubt about that. But, this is also part of setting up the 2018 election. And don't forget, Susana Mendoza is also up for election in 2018. When she won last year, it was only for a 2-year seat. It was a special election. So, you know, there's all kinds of election calculus going on.
Last question. Do you have the evidence of Obama wiretapping Trump? Because we can't seem to find it anywhere. Do you have it?
I don't have it either, and I've been looking all over for it. I've been asking Republicans, I've been asking Democrats. I haven't been able to find any.
Look in your right-hand desk drawer. It's sitting in there.
I'm sure it's somewhere in the tower. We've probably just misplaced it.
If you've seen what's in my right-hand desk drawer.
Yes, I have.
That's where Jimmy Hoffa is.
I mean, it will be very interesting on Monday with the House Intelligence Committee hearings and seeing what FBI Director James Comey has to say at that hearing. That I think is going to tell us a lot about where the rest of this goes.
Follow Rick Pearson on Twitter @Rap30. I have social media @Rap30, right?
Yes.
And nice talking to you, buddy. Well, it's Sunday morning.
Sunday spin.
Sunday spin. 7 to 9. Best way to start your Sunday political talk.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A judge has just blocked our executive order on travel and refugees coming into our country from certain countries. This ruling makes us look weak, which, by the way, we no longer are, believe me. Just look at our borders. The order he blocked was a watered-down version of the first order and should have never been blocked to start with. This is, in the opinion of many, an unprecedented judicial overreach.
President Trump last night using really big words, and, because he has all the best words. Pat Brady's here, and Pat, name your company is?
Next Generation Strategies.
All right, and Eric Edelstein will join us shortly. Put your attorney hat back on. Do you have an attorney hat?
Yeah, it's not a good hat.
It's not a good hat for you?
No.
If you are trying to defend something that's been turned down, so you're going to have to win on appeal, and you say it's a watered-down version of what was turned down before, I assume that's a bad thing?
Well, here's the way I look at this, and I read the first opinion. I have not read the one that just came out last night. The court, in the first instance, never looked at the actual law that the president did what he did, the law that allowed him to issue that order. They based it basically on potential discrimination because Trump made those idiotic comments during the campaign about Muslims. So it comes out of the Ninth Circuit, and I'm not defending the travel ban. I think it was rolled out and it was a bad idea, but legally it comes out of the Ninth Circuit. That's the most reversed circuit in the United States. You had one in San Francisco and you had one in Hawaii. and one in Maryland, which is along the same lines, and there were others that went the other way. The point is, they haven't really ruled on the law. They've ruled just on what they think might be potential discriminatory.
But if this gets pushed all the way to the Supreme Court, we're not talking about them hearing it till the fall, right?
Right.
They're done.
He rolled it out badly, and then they rolled it out again, and it didn't work. They knew this was going to happen. I don't get politically why they did it. They should have just let it drop. But legally, when you read the opinion, you're like, wow, that's kind of a leap that this is somehow evidence of discrimination, things said during a campaign. But that's the conclusion that the court made. And they never really looked at the statute, whether the president had the powers to do what he did.
We know that Syrian immigrants and refugees, along with the immigrants and refugees of all countries that come, generally face a 2-year wait before they can get in. So this notion that they're pouring in is ridiculous, but that was one of the scare tactics used by the White House.
Yeah, the politics are terrible. We sat here last week with the doctor and his wife that tell us all about the Syrian doctor, and right. We realized what's going on, the humanitarian crisis. But there is a group of people that support the president that believe that line, this just makes us weak, and that's where we are with it politically.
As this thing continues, if it doesn't go, or if it does go, I should say, until the fall, what's their argument going to be for the Supreme Court, or does it not matter at that point because, you know, everything changes week to week?
Yeah, I think everything, who knows what's going to happen or what they're going to be saying. I just think it was a bad idea from the beginning and a bad rollout. And Eric just walked in, so I'm sure he's got a different opinion, but.
Well, I don't think so. Eric Adelstein's here.
Trump.
Wait, what?
Did you fall on black ice?
Sorry, wait, what?
Did you fall on black ice and hit your head on the way in? Eric Adelstein, what's your company's name?
My company is AL Media.
I'm a big fan. Thank you. All right, Eric. So we're talking about the travel ban and the fact that the president last night at a rally in Nashville called it a watered-down version of the first one.
Right.
And with the administration's words being used against it in the ruling of the first one, this probably doesn't help?
There's a certain irony to this. I mean, there was all this great, after the election, this great parsing of, oh, you don't take him literally, you take him seriously, you take mm-hmm. him seriously, not literally. Words matter. And we're now seeing that all the times, and they cited it in the opinion, and particularly in the Hawaii opinion, that every time he said Muslim ban, the court's saying that is a violation of the Constitution. And now they've compounded the problem because the guy that wrote the thing in the White House said,
Stephen
oh, yeah,
we just
changed some commas around.
Yeah.
And the president himself, you guys just touched on this, said it's just a watered-down version of what we had before. So I think the irony is a guy who's so loose-lipped, who everyone said it would catch up to him, but it didn't during the campaign. It sort of played to his strength. Maybe it's catching up to him now.
But not just from the legal analysis, I've never really seen campaign rhetoric get put into the term, this is evidence of discrimination.
Right.
Somehow. I think on the legal foundation, I've never thought that they were right. And I think they'll probably, Trump will end up winning on this in the long run, whether he has the authority to do it. I'm not agreeing with what they did or how he's rolled it out.
Understood. There was some really interesting legal discussion on CNN last night where Dershowitz and Tubin and other guys who know this better than I were saying, if this goes to the Supreme Court, it's a case of first impression for the reasons you're saying, Pat, that using campaign rhetoric, sort of the president's own words as legal precedent, is not something Supreme Court has ever ruled on relative to an executive order.
I've never seen it ever used.
Right.
It campaign words and then used as evidence of, unless you get really far out, like
right.
the Klan or something like that.
But the thing I would say, and again,
as far as we know, the Klan's not involved in this one.
But, well, he, you know what? He didn't repudiate their endorsement during the primary. Remember
right,
that?
Right.
Yeah, he said he didn't know who David Duke was.
That's right. Right. Never heard of him.
I mean, my 10-year-old knew who right. David Duke was.
But he also said he didn't know the reporter that got the tax returns that he sent to the reporter this week. Yeah,
right.
So
I do think, though, if you take the travel, regardless of how it ends up winding its way through the courts and being resolved, and the fact is if it goes to the Supreme Court, this is not going to be a quick decision.
However, he's likely to have Justice Gorsuch on the bench by then.
That's right. But here's my point is take the Muslim bans now, ACA, relationship with Russia, filling these agencies. I mean,
it's all going well.
It's the reverse of the Midas touch. Everything he's touching is turning bad. And I do think, and again, not trying to dive back into your earlier discussion on the state politics, when you're in charge like Rauner is, and we saw those numbers yesterday,
mm-hmm.
at a certain point when you don't get anything done or everything you do is sort of negative, it catches up to you when you're the guy that's supposed to be in charge. And I think right now Trump, that's why we're seeing those bad numbers. Pat's right. There's a core base that'll hang with him, I think, you know, as you say, till the yellow dog dies. But
he should be in the low 30s.
Yes.
With as poorly as this has gone, badly as this has gone, and he's still hovering in the mid-40s, even in the Fox poll.
Well, I think we'll see it 6 months. I think 6 months is sort of the standard for the new president. And it's only been 6 weeks, right? Feels like 10 years.
It's 8 funny weeks though to watch now.
People. Sorry, 8 weeks.
But it feels like a year.
I said like 6 months right after the election to see which House and Senate Republicans would hang with him, and I think it might be closer to 10 or 11 weeks before they start bailing.
Yeah.
Well, you're already seeing, too, like Devin Nunes, who was actually on the campaign transition committee yesterday, swallowing hard as he went, yeah, he's got nothing. And Jeff Sessions, his most staunch supporter in the Senate, also going, yeah, there's nothing here.
Hey, but the stock market's at all-time highs. Low unemployment really might get 4% economic growth this year. I agree with everything everybody said, but the reality is the country economically right now is going pretty well.
But if health care goes in the wrong direction, Wall Street will start to go in the other direction as well, according to everybody that knows something about money, and I certainly don't.
By the way, I heard you talking to Pearson about where that evidence is on the wiretap.
Oh, you know where it is?
I was in the car, and I turned the corner, and I thought I saw it, but it was just a garbage can. So...
Maybe the garbage compartment. Certainly, I mean that makes sense to me.
Could
but
be.
I heard he left it in an Uber. It's 7:31. We're back with these guys and more politics and Andrea with a big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
We are going to protect the integrity of the ballot box, and we are going to defend the votes of the American citizens.
We had a massive field of people. You saw that packed. I get up this morning, I turn on one of the networks, and they show an empty field. I said, wait a minute. I made a speech. I looked out. The field was, it looked like a million and a half people.
I'm the one that got him to put up his birth certificate. Hillary Clinton was unable to get there, and I will tell you, she tried. Pretty much everybody agrees with me.
All I did is point out the fact that on the cover of the National Enquirer, there was a picture of her, him, and crazy Lee Harvey Oswald having breakfast. Now, Ted never denied that it was his father.
Well, George Costanza said it best, Steve. If you believe it, it's not a lie.
I mentioned it earlier, though, for a guy that lies as much as he does, you think he'd get better at it. Because he's not good. He's not good. He's not a good liar.
He's no Bill Clinton.
That's true. The birth certificate, the crowd size, Ted Cruz's father killed President Kennedy, the 3 million illegal voters. And there's always an investigation that's going to happen afterwards. We're going to get to the bottom of this, and then it turns into OJ's real killer. Nobody does anything. I don't know. It's 7:43. The president, President Trump, I really wish you'd focus on the things that actually matter, but who am I to ask? We're back with Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady. Let's talk about this healthcare thing for a second. Pat, can you explain the reason Paul Ryan is fighting so hard for his argument here in what, by all accounts, is a faulty bill?
Well, I don't agree with that necessarily. This is the position that the conservatives ran on in the last election, and basically
the position being repeal and replace, not this bill in particular.
Well, but a lot of the things in the bill, and it's a legislative process, and there's so much in it, it's so complicated, and I'm not pretending to understand all of it, but he is in a tough spot right now because the conservative wing of the party is bailing on him. The Senate's starting to bail on him. I think he only can afford to lose 21 votes, and they've already maybe 16, 17 said they probably won't vote for it. I feel bad for him because I think he's actually a true policy guy and truly cares, and I think he did try to do his best to get something, everybody involved, and come up with a plan. But the CBO report didn't help, even if you explain the problems with the report and the prior comparisons. But we'll see what happens. They still have a lot of votes in the House, but they're going to have problems in the Senate.
I guess what I'm getting to here is, and I'm not knocking Paul Ryan on this, this is the pure politics of it. And the pure politics of it is the Republicans said for years, we're going to repeal and replace. I was harping on Mitt Romney about this in 2012 with a repeal or replace sign in front of him. Repeal is easy. What are you going to replace it with? And the fact that they've had no idea what they're going to replace it with is their problem.
I agree.
So Paul Ryan's job is to try to save the House. So politically, to save the House, he has to deliver on the repeal and replace promise. So in the big picture, looking three steps ahead, isn't he fighting so hard for this bill because he believes this is the only bill that he could actually get through prior to all this harangue that's gone on? He doesn't believe the more conservative version of it could pass in any way, shape, or form, or anything coming out of the Senate. He's trying to save seats, is my point.
Well, I think he truly is trying to enact a policy that fundamentally believes in, and fundamentally what the battle is here is we have Obamacare, which is going to blow up, and it's if you want the government running your health care, if you truly believe that being born in this country, you're entitled as a matter of right to health insurance or health care coverage versus the Republican approach, the conservative approach that believes maybe we should have more market forces involved to make it less expensive, better care, and more accessible. It's just a fundamental argument. I think he truly believes it. Is it a perfect bill? No, but it's just the beginning of the process.
Why not just repeal it and replace it with a free market? Why not go back to pre-Obamacare, replace it with a free market, and let everybody get their own?
Because it wasn't truly a free market. There's been too much government involvement in health care since they got involved in the mid-60s, and I'm not saying those were bad ideas, but I don't know of any program the government does more efficiently and better than the free market. Now, that's the fundamental difference maybe Eric and I have, but I think that's the fight here.
How bad a bill does it have to be for a guy like Donald Trump who's willing to put his name on a fire hydrant just to see his name in lights that he refuses to put his name
on?
He literally just
asked for and was granted a trademark for escort services
right,
in China,
right.
But he won't put his name on this bill.
Exactly. But look, when the CBO comes out and they say, well, okay, under Obamacare, 20 million new people have gotten health care, and under this bill, 25 million. And are going to lose health care, you start scratching your head. And even if it's those are externalities and that's not really an equivalency, you start saying, like, wait a minute, what these guys are doing a lot of damage. And the fact of the matter is, we remain the only Western country that spends as much as we do on health care, more than anybody else, and gets less return for it. There are great parts of our medical system, but there are a whole lot of people who were not getting coverage before ACA, who are now getting coverage. And yes, premiums are coming up, but they're the lowest rise levels we've had since Obamacare passed. So it's not a perfect bill. It helped a lot of people. And I think Pat's right. The Republicans ran for two cycles on this promise that they're going to repeal and replace this thing. Repeal is the easy part for them. It's the replace that gets really, really tricky.
Chuck Todd earlier said that Paul Ryan's going to be the fall guy for this, is what he thinks. Has there ever been, I'm going back to when Hillary Clinton tried to do the health care bill when Bill Clinton was president, Obamacare, this one, I've heard it called Conservacare, Trump care, whatever you want to say. Has there ever been really a successful health care plan where we all went, oh, this is great?
Not
this
in the moment.
This is great for everybody.
Not in the moment. I mean, when they passed Medicare, everyone said it was socialized medicine. And it was going to end careers, and it was, it took a long time for it to sort of embed.
But the amazing thing to me is, with all the mistakes the Democrats made, and now they rolled out Obamacare, so little was learned by the Republicans. For instance, why are you waiting for the AMA and for every major medical association to tell you it's a bad bill? Why wouldn't you sit down with the doctors and the health care providers and the insurance companies and go, tell us what didn't work about Obamacare, and let's try to fix it?
Well, here's a simple answer to that. I think a lot of those groups that have come out against it that they did negotiate with last time, they're all getting a lot of money from
those
people you just mentioned, they have a vested interest in this because there was a ton of money doled out to a lot of people from Obamacare. And the reality is we can't afford it.
But that's true. But I've talked to doctors and hospital associations, and when hospitals are merging at a faster rate than ever, hospitals are telling you it doesn't work. So why not sit down with Northwestern Medicine, with Advocate, and for places like this that replicate themselves all over the country and go, how are we going to provide health care? The Republicans could have looked at what the Democrats did and go, wow, they really screwed that up. Let's not do that. But instead, fast-track this thing. Why is it so important to get it done immediately?
Eric made the point last week that Carville made the point that the first mover on health care ever dies. It never ends well. But I agree with you. But I do think there's been a lot of discussion on this.
If I need my oil changed, I talk to a mechanic. If I need health care, I talk to the health care providers. I don't know why the politicians think they know more than the doctors and the hospitals.
Well, it's not only knowledge. It thinks to Pat's point is a good one, but I slightly disagree. If you're going to be sophisticated about legislation, you better include the stakeholders,
yeah,
the people who are going to lose or gain something, because they will come out and vociferously oppose you if they feel like they don't have a stake in it. Now, yes, there's a cost to that, but I think good or bad, the Obama administration included pharma, which represents the prescription drug companies in the ACA, and that really helped get it over the line. One of the most powerful lobbies in Washington. Now, people have criticized some of the provisions that pharma got, but it helped get a bill that's helped 20 million people.
The people that are going to be most hurt by this really, literally, are older folks and some people that have the least money to spend on it, and people who in all likelihood voted for Trump. Isn't that going to come back to haunt them?
Sure. This could be bad news for Republicans in the next election cycle. If it doesn't get done, or if it gets done with the kind of press we're seeing right now, it could be very difficult.
And we are back with Eric Adelstein and Pat Brady. We were just talking about something off the air, and I haven't asked Eric for permission to do this. I'm going to do it anyway.
Sure.
Dina Baer last night did a piece on Channel 9 News about a doctor now teaching and inspiring younger doctors to try to avoid the pitfalls that this particular doctor fell into. Yeah. Pick the story up.
Well, this doctor who is at Rush, was featured on WGN, happens to be my wife, Gail Bosch, who is a specialist in addiction medicine, who had her own struggles with opioid addiction 15 years ago, and has dedicated her life to making sure other doctors and the medical profession understands the risks of opioid addiction. And she spends her life treating people who have addictions and teaching those who are going to go into the medical profession on how to avoid those pitfalls. And with the heroin epidemic and all the stuff we see going on today, it is a major health epidemic going on right now.
Yeah, I know another doctor that went through the same thing. This is a wisdom tooth thing.
Started when she was little. She was a teenager, wisdom teeth, got some very strong drugs. She had a history of addiction in the family.
Sure.
Her brain was one of those that
tripped that lever.
You know, it isn't, as we've all talked about with addiction, it isn't that they feel wonderful on it. They feel normal,
right?
Yep, the addict, yep, the alcoholic, when they take whatever they use, that's how they need to feel normal. And then she ended up having migraines and taking very strong medication. And so it really almost cost her her life. It almost cost her her medical career. And she got her stuff together. One of the points she makes in the story, which is a great point, is when she had trouble, she did reach out to the medical profession. And the more senior people, again, this was 20 years ago, told her, oh, don't say anything, it's going to hurt your career. And now there are resources where these doctors can go and get help, and it doesn't jeopardize their futures, but it helps them.
Everything I know about addiction is addicts listen more to people who have walked the walk than to those who love them.
Yeah, exactly.
And this series is great. She's been doing this all week long. Every night there's a different twist
it's a great series. Great that WGN is.
It really is. It's Dina Baer who's
doing
it.
You got to be very proud of her.
It's
a great story.
You know, I think it's online too. So if you didn't see it last night, WGNTV.com, you can go back and see.
It's online. I posted it late last night on my Facebook just to say that I was really proud of my wife for having the courage not only to come forward with her own story, but just dedicating her life to helping all these people. Yeah. She does it every day.
Amen to that. That's the good news. Let's get back to the depressing news. All right, so the Russia story, which, Pat, you've talked about forever. I've talked about forever. Eric, you've talked about forever. I still maintain this is the anchor that could sink this administration, and it's just a slow leak in the boat that sometimes gets bigger and bigger. Do you guys see any light at the end of the tunnel on how they walk away from this, they being the Trump administration?
Not today, but it depends. Could just slow drip this investigation. You get every day you get more bad news, and it's pretty when people start realizing. I think, and people have forgotten what a bad guy Vladimir Putin is, and we saw the Syrian people, the doctor that were in here, the refugees last week,
and what he's ordered and what he continues to do.
He's an evil thug murderer.
By the way, Fareed Zakaria has got a great 1 hour on Putin that's running now, which you can get on demand
as
well.
Part of that, yeah, it was good.
He tied it to Hillary Clinton. He just wanted her to lose because she had said some bad things about him. But he's a rotten guy, and if Trump has curried up this guy at all, that could be fatal.
Can Trump survive this, Russia?
I think it is the Achilles heel. I mean, there's so many smoking guns there. There's recurring stories of him continuing to sort of hobnob with some of these oligarchs in Florida and New York and other places. His protests you know, against the stuff. It's like, you know, he protests too much when the stuff comes up and he says, I've got no ties. I don't understand, you know, and it's just over the top and it makes you think there's something there that he's hiding.
Which goes back to the news of this week before we go, and that is the leak of the 2 pages of his tax return from 2005, which happened to be a very favorable return to him, which had a client copy stamp on it, which showed up in a reporter's mailbox who he's known for 20 years, who he then claimed to not know. It's clearly a favorable leak by somebody in his circle that likely came from him, that Rachel Maddow and MSNBC bit on so he could go on his fake news rant. It all played perfectly.
Well, she played right into it.
That's what I'm saying.
She just was, I couldn't understand. And I read it, I go, wow, this helps him. Why did you not think this through?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
Dean Richards standing by at Channel 9, so let's go there. Hi, buddy.
I am standing by, ready for action.
We got a lot to talk about today.
Yes, we do. We have...
There's important show business news.
10 pounds of stories to put in a five-pound bag.
We're trying to find the evidence of Obama wiretapping the president. Do you have it? Do you have the evidence?
I do.
Oh, you have it?
I have it right here. It's on my cell phone.
Oh, well, could you send it to the federal government? Because we need to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, oh, I'm happy to do that. I've got my cell phone in my microwave oven right now. You know, so I was taking some pictures of it. So I can just, I can send both. The microwave, the cell phone, and also some pudding I was making.
There's a, well, definitely Ooh, send the pudding.
That's probably your mom's recipe.
There was a story yesterday in Politico about how tough it is to work at the White House. Now nobody trusts anybody. Your phone's being checked all the time.
That's hard to believe.
Morale's really down.
No.
It's vicious. There's competition on a level like never seen before. Nobody
False.
Trusts anybody. You know what it
False.
Reminds me of?
False.
Wrong.
No, you know what it reminds me of? Hmm. Tribune Media, the way Larry Wirt runs it. Larry Wirt, Iron
no,
Fist Larry.
No, no.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's tough.
I love Larry.
It's very tough.
Larry wants your phone, by the way.
Yeah. Sadly, you know, it wasn't
both
many,
of yours.
Many years ago where that would have been a fairly true statement.
Oh, between 2000 and, you know, as soon as I read the story yesterday, I thought Sam Zell must be running the White House. Unbelievable. All right, so here's what's coming up. Prince's ex-wife is talking. That's Maite. Scientology
That's
is
what?
Talking. Maite.
I'll have one, too, with mm-hmm. Lime.
And do you like the salt on the rim?
Sugar for the Mai Tais,
right? Like a personal question.
The blue sugar.
Emma Watson and Amanda Seyfried's in the news. Matrix may be coming back as a movie. Audra McDonald's in the news. We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
There is tons, and where's the evidence?
Yeah, we got to find the evidence. I thought he had left it in an Uber, but I'm being told that's not the case. If you see the evidence that President Trump is looking for that Obama wiretapped him, please let us know.
Thank you, darling.
Okay.
You know, if this was many years ago, I would say, where's the beef?
Oh, yeah.
Where's the beef?
Yeah. Maybe you should give a prize out, a pizza or something, if somebody has.
Oh, I'll give somebody a Lou Malnati's pizza if they can find Obama wiretapping right. something.
That'd be great. You find evidence like that and you get a pizza.
Thank you, darling.
Yeah, man, you rip us off for a pizza if you find evidence that.
You know, if OJ gets out of prison soon, maybe he could, you know, get two for one here. He could find the real killers and the evidence. Mm. Huh? Mm, yeah.
Way to weave two stories.
Not just a pretty face.
A twofer.
A twofer.
Yeah, man.
It's a twofer. Twofer Tuesday.
Which is all a, you know, fake news.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor. Channel 972. Oh, 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 oh.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. Let's dive in, shall we? Prince's ex-wife. They had a child together, right?
I do not believe it. I don't. That I don't know.
Maite? M-A-Y-T-E?
M-A-Y-T-E.
Yeah, they did. They had a baby that died shortly after birth.
That's right. That's right. I do remember that now. She has a new memoir that's coming out next month, and People Magazine doing some excerpts of it. Right now, and one of the things that was interesting is that she says she never really actually saw Prince doing drugs in the 4 years that they were married. One time, he asked her to flush some pills down the toilet. She never asked him anything about that. Never came up again. But that's, you know, for someone who died with complications of drug use, she says she never saw anything related to that.
Well, you know, when I knew him in the early 90s for a brief period of time, he was so against drugs, and everybody around him was not allowed to be involved in the drug culture. I was shocked to find out that that was the cause, and it appeared to be something that came up later in life that started as a painkiller for jumping off speakers in those heels that he used to wear that got out of hand.
Yeah, it definitely seems like that was the cause of it all, as is the case with lots of other people who have trouble, you know, other physical ailments, so they start taking drugs for those things. And, you know, that's where it begins to snowball. So
there's Matrix news. Now, Dean and I have been good friends for a long time, but we did have one fight, and we fought it Matrix style, where we flew each other in slow motion.
Yep.
It was kind of a beautiful fight.
Shot guns at each other, and the bullets were all slow motion, so we were easily able to...
remember how I hurt my back because I bent backwards to have the bullet fly by my head?
I do remember that.
It was an emotional time for you two.
Yeah, but there's a Matrix movie coming back?
I wish we could still fly just slow motion. Oh, you know, to be young again.
Oh, if I could fly like I flew then.
There is talk that there may be a Matrix reboot. Warner Brothers wants to do it. Keanu Reeves says that he would like to do it, but only if the Wachowskis are involved. Now, Lily and Lana Wachowski were the...
they're my favorite Wachowskis.
The films and directors, original directors. Chicago's own, by the way, from Marquette Park in the Southwest Side.
Yeah, I know.
They have not said if they would be involved.
All right.
I see this reboot. I mean, they did three Matrix movies. They just like progressively got worse. To me, those were the reboots. I liked the first movie. I'm not dying to get another Matrix.
Yeah, Matrix goes to camp. Matrix goes to jail. Remember those? Those are no good.
What was that Hey Vern
Matrix
guy?
Vacation.
Oh, that was Ernest, wasn't it?
Ernest goes to Matrix.
And Madea.
I thought Ernest.
Madea. Madea goes Matrix. Yeah. Matrix Madea.
Boy, that'd be scary, wouldn't it? That's a lot flying around there.
Now we're talking reboot.
Hello.
Now I'm excited.
Emma Watson and Amanda Seyfried are in the news. Beautiful young women.
Yes, and apparently some photographs of them have been hacked and leaked and published online. Emma Watson did some photos, took some photos during a clothing fitting several years ago, mm-hmm. and those are not nude photos of her, but they have been taken, and lawyers have been contacted regarding that. Amanda Seyfried.
I had the same problem in the dressing room.
I remember
Kohl's.
That. I remember. I thought you had a similar problem.
I took pictures of myself getting changed in the dressing room at Kohl's,
right.
And I couldn't get anybody to distribute them.
They really need to put some signs up that selfie sticks are not allowed in the dressing room.
Did you think something was wrong when all the security people just rushed in and
they came
walked
in,
you out?
They came in, and I said, can we get these up on the website?
Yeah.
Can we post these?
They're like, sir, would you mind locking the door? Would you mind closing and locking the door?
Rules, schmools.
And go in the men's dressing rooms?
Yep, they were pretty strict that day.
Oh, they're such sticklers.
What's the Amanda Seyfried story?
She actually did apparently have some allegedly nude photos that have been hacked and put up on some sleazy website, and the lawyers are now involved in taking those down. Steve, as I've told you, I've told everybody, if you have the nude photos, don't put them online someplace where they might get hacked.
Keep them
private someplace. If you got to take, I've lived my whole life. I have never taken a nude photo once. Really, do you need? Does anyone really need nude photos?
I just think you can't count on any of it not being hacked. So if you're going to do it, plan on it being hacked. In other words, get the lighting right. Maybe get final photo approval before they're hacked.
Yeah.
There's just the security is such that it could well happen.
The voice of experience, ladies and gentlemen.
And by the way, those pictures I took in Nicole's dressing room are still available. Scientology. Listen, I watched the entire Leah Remini series. I thought she was terrific.
It's really good. It's a really good series. It's called Scientology and the Aftermath. The A&E Network has picked up a second season of it now. And as you might guess, the Church of Scientology, not so happy about it all. A spokesperson says Remini and A&E are shamelessly turning religious hate into a commodity by treating it as entertainment. Remini, who parted with them 4 years ago, says the show simply is telling painful stories of former members that seems to be resonating with viewers.
I don't quite understand how it's religious hate when they're doing a documentary about one particular cult.
Okay.
That's what I don't get. It's not religious hate.
They call it religion.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They call it religion. Almost all the rest of the world calls it cult, but that's their
the guy that's in charge, David Miscavige, when Tom Cruise isn't running it. Has his wife ever shown up? Because there's this whole story that maybe he had his wife killed or institutionalized somewhere.
Allegedly.
Fake news.
Allegedly fake news.
But it seems to me that the best way to prove that she's still okay is to present her.
Yep.
Oh, Steve, don't bring reason into things.
That's a good point. Who am I?
I forgot what I was going to say.
Excellent. Good move.
I was. Now you made me sad about the missing wife.
You want me to tell the Cole story again?
I think that really that's what telling that Cole story was like turning an Etch-a-Sketch upside down and shaking it. You just kind of cleared my whole brain of everything.
Actually, you know what? That could have been what made you sad. Cold story. That's probably what made you sad. Hey, who's Audra McDonald?
Audra McDonald is the most honored person on the Broadway stage. She's won 6 Tony Awards.
Me too.
She was in Private Practice too, right?
She was in Private Practice.
Me too.
She's been in lots of television shows and movies. But her big claim to fame is she is the most honored person on stage. And she is the singing... wardrobe cabinet, Steve, in the new Beauty and the Beast movie.
Oh, that's cool, because yeah. I'm the wrapping end table.
I was up for the part of the singing umbrella stand, but
yes.
Somebody else got that.
I felt bad about that. Yeah. I thought you did a great
I thought
audition.
I did a good job, too, but yeah. as you're going to find out by hearing Audra McDonald talk, you know, disappointment is something that happens to actresses. Here she is, this incredibly accomplished person. But talking about some disappointment that she had, specifically, while she's happy to be part of this Disney project, a huge disappointment that she had early on was at the hands of Disney.
My history is that I saw the film I was 21 when the film came out, and I saw it then. And then in 1994, I auditioned for the Broadway version, and I auditioned to be in the ensemble, and I didn't get cast, and I was devastated.
Oh. Yes,
I was devastated.
Isn't that?
That's all right. I like the ending here.
Yeah.
I like being in this one.
The ending turns out great,
yes.
But
and then
isn't it just mind blowing though that Audra McDonald doesn't get a role?
Right. Oh, there are many roles she doesn't get, but anyway. And then once I had my daughter, who's now 16, my oldest daughter is 16. Beauty and the Beast was very much a part of our household, and we went to Disneyland when she was 3, she had to have the Beauty and the Beast dress, the Belle dress, and all that. So yes, it's been a part of my life since it came out.
Yeah, everybody talks about this, how, you know, Beauty and the Beast, if they weren't of age when it was coming out, you know, their kids were, so, you know, they watched it a million times just like their kids did.
Sure.
Really resonating as this live adaptation opens tomorrow. I'm going to be giving it a hugely great review. I love this movie.
Cool.
So much. It's supposed to break box office records this weekend. Fandango is saying that they have record advance ticket sales on this. And Steve, all of that is with this alleged 2-second gay moment.
I can't believe that didn't ruin the entire thing.
That'll bring down culture in the world as we know it.
Right, right. You know the old saying, love is for heterosexuals.
That's what I just keep saying when people are asking me that, you know, some people are upset about this ridiculous 2-second moment of two guys in a group scene dancing. A love between a woman and what appears to be a billy goat seems to be okay.
It's fine, yeah.
With the bestiality seems to be okay, but not this 2-second dance scene.
Well, that's been my theory forever. All right, so tomorrow you'll review it, and as well as other movies.
Tomorrow I'll be speaking to you from Bourbon Street, 115 on Marionette Park.
Okay.
We're having a big morning show, St. Patrick's Day party there.
God, why don't you guys stay in studio for a couple days?
Why don't we go out more often?
Oh, okay.
Why don't you come out and do the show from there?
I'm a vital employee. I got to stay here in a tower.
Okay.
All right, the ankle bracelet keeps me here.
Are you saying that I'm not vital?
Oh, no, you're vital.
Is that what you're saying?
I got an ankle bracelet. I can't leave the premises. All right, I'll see you later. Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
The most annoying song for the rest of the NHL. But we love it. Chicago Blackhawks, Breakfast of the Blackhawk, and our friend Brian Campbell joins us now from Canada. Where are you? Are you in Ottawa?
Ottawa, Ontario.
You like Ottawa?
I actually spent 4 years here. I played junior hockey here. So I spent from ages 16 to like 20 here.
Oh, is that right? Fond, yeah. Fond memories?
Yeah, really good memories. I enjoyed it here. It was a lot of fun. Great city, capital of Canada, obviously. So, you know, it's a beautiful city.
What team did you play for?
I played for a team called the Ottawa 67s.
Why were they the 67s? Is that the year they were formed?
Correct.
Mm. Good sweater, good logo?
Very, like, almost like an original, kind of like nothing elaborate, barber pole kind of on the socks. It was kind of, yeah, it was. I liked the sweaters, yeah.
Yeah, and what kind of team were you? Were you a speed team because you were on it?
We're more of a skating, high tempo. We won the Memorial Cup, which is the whole championship my last year. So it was fun. Great memories.
What's the most fun thing you can do in Ottawa?
Skate on the canal.
Skate on the canal. Tell me about that.
So they have, I don't even know how long it is, but it's miles long. Like, and what they do in the wintertime is they lower the water level down along the canal, and then it freezes, obviously, so you can go skating down the canal. And then they have like little food places. The beaver tails is a big thing here, which is like some dough and then some brown sugar on it. And that's the big thing to eat. It's called a beaver tail.
The Rideau Canal, guys, just to jump in here, I figured we should get some details. 126 miles, to be exact, Steve and Brian. And
126 miles?
Yes. It's also
but
unofficially.
That's not, yeah. You can't skate 126 miles, but you can skate a long way.
And food places and good times. That's probably a great place to take a date.
Yeah, anything. It's actually a lot of fun. So it goes right through the city where you can skate, and you can skate to work if you want.
No kidding.
The skating is 7.8 kilometers, people come from all around the world to glide along the Rideau Canal, just like Brian Campbell is doing right now, Steve.
Is that the first place you were recognized as a hockey player, like celebrity recognized?
Maybe a little. Yeah, maybe a little, because junior leagues are pretty big around here. And,
sure.
So, it's kind of like the, you know, obviously that's where I got drafted from and everything like that. So it's the next step before, obviously, professional.
What's your favorite named hockey team in Canada? Because some of the minor league teams and the junior teams have some pretty funny names.
Wow, that's a good question. You know, I'm trying to think of all of them now.
Nothing jumps out? Because we'll do some research in a break if you want.
Yeah, I know Halifax has the Moose Heads, which is which is like the beer there. There's Moose Head.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a cool one.
Yeah, and by the way, that is a Canadian mob move. If you wake up with a moose head in your bed, yeah, that's not good. It's not good. Not good at all. All right, so we're going to break for traffic. When we come back, we got a listener question for you. We'll preview Ottawa tonight and Toronto coming up. And maybe you can talk a little bit, too, about whether or not the Maple Leafs are on the come or not. They seem like they're getting better. You know, they've got the old Red Wings coach now. But it would be a huge deal in Canada, and Brian can speak to this, if Toronto would ever win a cup. Ever. Ever. It's been a while.
Thank you.
MB Financial Bank brings you Breakfast with a Blackhawk. I don't have a list of all the great Canadian names, but here's a good collection of hockey names. Bookaboom Goes the Dynamite. It's not bad, right?
I've never heard of that.
It's not bad.
I've never heard of that.
How about Every Day I'm Bufflin? It's not bad. Come on, man. I got the moves like Jagger.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are all solid, bud. These are all solid. The Penalty Box Brawlers, Hat Trick Heroes. These are all beer league hockey names. That's why they're these names. The Bodacious Blue Line, that's a women's team. Multiple Scorgasms. I'm guessing that is a beer league. So we'll go through the big list of Canadian teams and get back to you on that. But I heard something yesterday which was troubling to me. I heard you ask David Kaplan to help fill out your bracket for March Madness.
Well, I know nothing about NCAA.
Well, why won't you ask me?
So, well, because I know he announces some games on the weekends. And
you know what he does? Honestly, and I'm not kidding you guys, he cheats. And I'm not just saying
Cap,
that.
Oh, Cap, absolutely.
He cheats. Enters, right, Carmen, back me up. He enters a pool with 10 different brackets.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll
use your bracket and claim it's his.
And he'll fill it out and, like, cross it out, and then you'll see another name, and then there'll be something.
Yeah, we love Cap, but he's a weasel.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I love you, Cap.
Well, yeah. I'll make sure I tell him that.
Yeah, well, please do. Yeah, and tell him I said it. all right, so who on the team has any NCAA knowledge?
I think the bread man might have some.
What? Seriously?
No, I'm joking. I don't know if anybody does.
That'd be hilarious if Panarin was an NCAA hoops expert. Now, that would be funny.
I don't know if any of us, I'm sure some of the college guys maybe a little bit, but I don't think a lot of us know. You know, it's kind of a guessing game, but we do it with, like, everybody in the organization. So
sure.
All these some of the guys in the office, they know a ton about it. So yeah. They're just taking us for some money.
McDonough's a shark. He's a shark that way. The Northwestern Wildcats, of course, play today. You got to be excited about that.
Yeah, I am excited. I know I put them down for round one. So hopefully they can keep going, and it's going to be fun to watch.
You guys are hot and hopefully going to continue to stay that way. Great win over Montreal the other night. What about Ottawa? How good are they?
They're really good. They've played great all season, and they've had some injuries too, and they've kept winning. So they're a patient team. We're going to have to be ready to go tonight. They have the four lines going. So it's going to be a good challenge for us. They beat us in our building last time, so we need to repay that.
And you got the Maple Leafs in a couple of days. What would be a bigger deal? It's been a long time since Canada won a cup, and obviously we don't want them to win because we want you guys to win. But what would be a bigger deal if the Canadians won or the Maple Leafs won?
Maple Leafs for sure. I think, you know, they sniff anywhere near the playoffs and that the whole city kind of shuts down or they just go crazy there. It is amazing, like, how much they care and the passionate fans and stuff. But they jump on board pretty quick on anything. But they have a good team. You know, they're gonna have a good team for years to come. They're a little young right now, but I think they're coming along pretty good.
Yeah, they're building.
Brian, you're not gonna have Anisima for a while here. What do you think you guys will miss the most? And can Nick Schmaltz step in there?
Well, I think for sure Nick can step in there for sure, 100%. I think everybody likes playing with Nick on the line, but the only problem is then you kind of take him off a taser's wing. So, you know, there's definitely you're going to miss something with already gone. So, you know, it's opportunities now for more guys to step up, and it's good that hopefully Artie won't be out for too long, and hopefully maybe he's back by playoff time. So, you know, that's the only thing. You're still losing a guy, even if Nick does step in there. You're still losing a guy off Johnny's wing there. So, Artie plays all situations, PP, PK, and obviously a ton of 5-on-5. So he's definitely going to be missed.
Heidi Lappin writes in the question on the MB Financial Bank Breakfast of the Blackhawk, Grandpa Ross from the Cubs is showing off his fancy footwork on Dancing with the Stars. If the Blackhawks had somebody on that show, who would it be?
Wow. I'd say
Breadman.
Maybe.
Breadman.
Yeah. He can do the high kicks.
I think Hossa would have more of a suave kind of feel.
He's too really? Shy. He's too shy.
Let's go. I don't know.
I think Duncan Keith might be able to
really
pull it off.
The assassin.
Yeah.
The quiet assassin.
Don't run away from yourself here, Brian Campbell. I feel like you could do it.
I feel like that too.
Yeah. Plus, you'd win on charm. You're charming guy, you.
You'd look good in the pink tuxedos.
But let's be honest, the one we'd most like to see on Dancing with the Stars, Coach Q.
Yeah.
Wait. What do you want me to do? All right.
I can't wait for you to ask me in your interview with him here coming up in a couple days.
Dancing with the Stars, what channel is that on? Is that on NHL Network? All right, buddy. Stay healthy. Get a couple more wins in Canada and come on home.
All right. Appreciate it, everybody. Thanks.
Thanks. And we'll take a break. Come back. CLTV joins us in a moment. MB Financial Bank. Thank you for bringing us Breakfast with the Blackhawks on the Steve Cochran Show on WGN. All right. Coming up next hour on the program, your Rainbow Cone friends are coming in.
Woo, yeah. And they heard it was your birthday this week, and they wanted to bring in a little treat because Rainbow Cone's opening this week, I believe.
And Dave Ennett on his deathbed, live from Salt Lake City, who will suck it up to make sure he is courtside this afternoon to make the call, and he'll be good to go.
I've been communicating with Dave, and he's in a extra oxygen dispensation. Yeah,
but we hope he's going to live.
We think he's going to be okay, but there is doubt.
Right now, he is headed for, it's 7 o'clock in the morning there, so he's probably getting up, and then he's going to head over to practice again. He's not allowed, by the way, to touch the team. Dave Ennett cannot touch the team in any way, shape, or form.
I heard there was actually something wrong with the bus, and Dave was underneath the bus fixing the oil situational.
We're hoping for the best for Dave because we cannot have the Northwestern first game in the NCAA March Madness big dance without Dave.
That's right.
They need to put him in a hazmat suit.
Bubble. Yeah, make him bubble boy.
Yeah,
bubble man.
Boy, exactly.
Bubble man. Yeah. Bubble man. Do the game from a bubble.
Are they still going to do the vigil for Dave before the game? Because that, I think, would really motivate the team.
That would be, yeah. Win one for the Daver.
Yeah.
Go catch.
For the Ennett.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Ice cream, vanilla, ice cream, strawberry.
This is Andrea singing. This is what happens to her when she has rainbow comb.
It's true. I don't even care.
She turns into a child.
I do. Everyone's a child with a rainbow cone.
I was telling Lynn, I'll eat nonstop off the air. I rarely eat on the air, but I make an exception for rainbow cone.
Oh, I love rainbow cone.
Tremendous.
My favorite since I'm a kid.
Lynn, welcome back. Oh, nice. Turn that microphone around so it's pointed right at you. Help her out there, Mark.
There you go.
Morning. And you guys are open?
Yes, we are.
Where?
We are at 9233 Western Avenue, and we are in the creameries out south, and Navy Pier opens May 1st.
90 how many years?
91 years.
Grandpa started this?
Joe and Catherine Sapp started Rainbow Cone.
And how old are you when they put you to work?
I was officially 14.
14 years old?
Yes.
Do people come every year? It's like a tradition for them to line up and be one of the first when you guys open?
It really is. We had somebody wait an hour and a half in the cold.
Yeah.
And we give away T-shirts and bags, and we give away ice cream. So they line up to wait for Original Rainbow Cone for the first, opening. Spring is coming if we open the doors. So we're very grateful.
And did Grandpa come up with the original rainbow?
He did.
So what's the story with mixing these flavors?
Well, back in 1926, they had to feed you because dinner was a plate, was a dime.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted something different. So he put fresh fruit and nuts together. That's why we're so unique, because the top is sherbet. It's orange sherbet, but then it goes pistachio. It has real pistachios in it, almonds.
Mm-hmm.
And Palmer House is cherry walnut. And then it has strawberries with real strawberries in it and chocolate. So it's an orange sherbet and an ice cream combination.
What I like is it meets so many of the food groups you need every day.
Yeah,
right.
Fruit, yes. Dairy. Yeah.
Fruit, dairy, right.
Nuts. Right. Yeah. Exactly. There's always a line. I mean, that's going to make you feel so good. It goes through quickly, but you see, it's become generational. Because I've told you about this, Steve. You know, I take my godchildren now. You're third generation. Are you seeing so many families now taking their kids and their kids and their kids?
It is. From the pictures you just showed me of your family at Rainbow yeah. Cone, that's what it's all about.
Well, it's fantastic. It's perfect. How do people come in and just say, I mean, this to me is, you know, this is blasphemy, but do people come in and say, I just want the sherbet or I just want the pistachio?
What?
I know.
And I have to confess, when I was young, I only ate chocolate for like my first few years. My grandpa used to be so sad. He'd like, eat a rainbow. And now I still eat rainbow cone. You know, people are like, you don't actually eat it. I love it. And I'm not, you know, I have to watch myself, but I really, really love that cone.
And you developed the cakes, you developed the different rolls and everything that you have there too now.
Yes, yes. You can, we did the ice cream cakes that you can have for birthdays. And, you know, we put it in quart containers, we put it in cups, you can get it to go, cones to go. So we've kind of taken the five flavors that we're based on for 91 years. And saying, what else can we do with it? So that's where we're at.
How old were you when you went for the first time?
Oh, I used to live at 91st in Pulaski. So I probably was 4 years old, four mm-hmm. or 5 years old. And we would go, my dad would take us my cousins and I, every year. And now we bring the kids as well.
And honestly, what's more fun than watching a little kid try to figure out the architecture of trying to eat an ice cream cone?
It's very true. And,
right?
And that's what keeps you going because it's hard work. But
right.
Watching people's faces when they've had it for the first time is
sure.
just so much fun.
Absolutely. It's a Chicago tradition. It's rainbow cone.
Has there ever been any thought of adding another flavor?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
No, Lynn, don't.
No,
don't,
I mean,
no,
what,
don't
you
get
can
mad.
Have vanilla if you're allergic to nuts because the nut, you know, allergies
oh,
are so
sure.
prevalent
yeah.
now.
Sure, sure, sure.
So we do put vanilla instead, but in a traditional rainbow cone has all five flavors.
Yeah, so. And you were picked as one of the, if not number one, you were number two top ice creams in the state for sure, but in the country as well.
Well, we've got a lot of great, great recognition that we're very grateful for because, you know, coming down here and having us on for a small business, we're still a small, we're micro. We're not small, we're micro, we're teeny. And we're, you know, we really appreciate it. You know, the advertising budget is my mouth.
Yeah.
That's it. You
well,
know?
And it's
I mean, me talking and you know, hi, how are you? Rainbow Cone.
But
that's it.
It's word of mouth because everybody yes. has one and they go and they tell everybody.
Yes.
And, what's the busiest month? Typically summer, July?
July.
Yeah, of course.
June, July, yes. Mm-hmm.
Backing
yes.
them out the door.
Yes. Yes.
And is there a secret recipe for the ice cream?
Yes, it's our recipe.
But you can't tell me, you'd have to kill me.
And it's the combination of the flavors, too. You
right.
know, because it works if you eat it from the top to the bottom, the bottom to the top, individually, they all work together. That's the secret.
The way you scoop it too.
It's sliced.
They slice the ice cream with a basically like a spatula.
Right. Right.
And how
cool.
about the cake?
Oh yeah.
The rainbow cake.
Yes, those are all five flavors and those are on a sponge cake with whipped cream around them. And I started doing those for family events and they just took off. So
Mark, you love having sponge cake and whipped cream around you.
I do, Steve.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mary, we're saving you a rainbow cone if you'd like to join us on the first floor.
Oh.
Steve, I know you've been good about your diet, but come on, man. If you're going to violate the rule, this is it, buddy.
Why
isn't he
speaking?
Right.
On my way.
I'm surprised he's not down here.
Yeah. Jeez, he's been doing Steve? A good job. He's been trying to eat a little healthier. And I think today is the day he's got to eat healthy with rainbow cone.
Oh, completely, yeah. You got all the staples going on here.
Again, tell people where you are.
We're 9233 Southwestern Avenue, original rainbow cone at rainbowcone.com. And we've been there for 91 years. Our hours are now we're open from noon to 7. We're closed Monday and Tuesday. In March, that'll be expanded in April. And we're open every day
and
except Monday and Tuesday.
And Navy Pier?
Navy Pier will be May 1st, and they'll be on weekends and then 7 days a week at
That's
Navy
cool.
Pier.
That's a big deal.
It is
expanding
a big deal.
Into
we're
Navy
in a
Pier,
kiosk
yeah.
and right across from Riva Restaurant, and it's a big deal for us because, it's so much fun. Nobody's ever seen it or heard of it. And watching people eat this cone, it is so much fun.
That's You're going to need more rainbow.
Yep.
We'll be backing them out the door. Great ceiling.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Let's get Walter's perspective here. It's sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. Nah, nah, nah. Why would we be doing the chicken dance? Because after almost a week's delay, I have finally found time to get you the story of chili chickens and their sweaters. That's right. Most important news story of the week as far as I'm concerned. But first, I know what you're saying. You're saying, Steve, what else have you missed? Well, have you, are you guys familiar with this? Nordstrom is selling clear knee mom jeans.
Clear knee? What's a clear knee mom jean?
They're mom jeans with plastic coverings over ripped knee holes.
Oh, come on, really?
$95 is what they cost. High waist, cropped and tapered denim with see-through plastic insets at mid-leg. One person tweeted, "We're truly living in a dark time."
Yeah, we are. That's weird. Why would you want to put the plastic over the... That's the trendy look to it, right? Mary, you wear those.
$95 for the for the mom jeans. But you have the... Mary, you have the, Sandberg, you have the jeans on that have the actual ripped holes.
I do.
How much did you pay for the rips?
These ones in particular are $170.
Wait, what?
$170 with rips?
Yeah, and the more rips there are... the more expensive they are.
I could rip them for you.
Which I know,
save you some money.
My dad always is.
Why don't you buy some regular ones and I'll rip them?
There you go. Okay. But the I understand the concept. I'm not into the high waist myself, but it's a trend. But the if you had something there, because sometimes the rips rip further while you're wearing them.
Really?
Yeah, I've mentioned
that. Well, that's crazy. How
Mike,
could that be at $170?
If you squat down, sometimes like your thigh, it'll like, oh, it starts to rip further. Yeah. So if there was a barrier. Also, people tend to stick their fingers in the holes because they see your skin.
That's going to make Nick's show. That's going to be on Nick's show.
924.
Yeah, for sure. And by the way, you're not wrong. That is a trend as well.
And so if there was a barrier, they wouldn't be able to touch your skin.
Right. I understand. All right. Item number two on stuff Steve didn't have time for in other parts of the show. Well, it's legal in Washington if you're over 21 to have up to an ounce of weed. How about 60 ounces of weed? How about five giant bags of marijuana?
That's too much weed.
Too much weed?
No.
Yeah. Monroe County Police in Washington found it where? Where do you think they found it?
You know what?
That's right, at the Goodwill store.
Oh, I thought they were.
That's right. They brought in clothes at the Goodwill store, and where they were hiding the weed, they kind of forgot. And they threw five giant bags of weed in at Goodwill. Does Goodwill resell the weed?
Yeah, for cheap, for $3.
I was going to say Goodwill, too. That's amazing.
I wasn't going to say that at all. I was going to say, well, forget.
Were you going to say Goodwill, you pot dealer? Maybe you knew something about it. Huh there, weed boy?
I could see how that would happen.
He's getting an ice cream headache.
Oh, this is really
Forgive
good.
Forgive him.
And finally, the story I really wanted to share this with Orion this week. Orion's still on the mend. He's going to be fine. But have you heard about sweaters for chickens?
Sweaters for chickens.
Is sweaters
this real?
For chickens.
I thought they were chili chickens.
They are chili chickens. That's why they need sweaters.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah. Poultry gets cold.
And you want to keep the poultry from frying.
You want to keep the poultry warm enough so it can live long enough so you can cook it.
Oh, my God. This is ridiculous. How do you hold a chicken down to put a sweater on it?
Well, you don't have to hold them down
arms.
Because this is where the chickens, they molt. The feathers fall off.
Ah, okay.
And when the feathers fall off, they get chilly. And you don't want a chicken with the flu. Bird flu.
That's terrible.
Right? You also don't want a chili chicken. I'm not a big fan of cold chicken anyway. Cold pizza, that's another story.
I don't mind cold chicken.
Cold fried chicken?
Sweaters are pretty stylish,
oh,
too.
So good.
Yeah, so here's the deal. A bunch of folks in senior citizen homes in and around Milton, Massachusetts, a place called Fuller Village, the Knitting Club of Fuller Village, heard about the chili chickens, and they have begun knitting tiny sweaters for the chickens. That's right. Certain breeds shed their feathers and grow new plumage in the winter months. Others imported from tropical climates just aren't suited for it. So organizer Nancy Kearns said the project benefits birds kept at the nearby M.B. Wakefield Charitable Trust Chicken Farm. And at the chicken farm, there's no longer any concerns for the chili chickens because the tiny sweaters are being delivered every day.
That's hilarious.
That one almost looks like a pantsuit.
The one that's on the featured in the photo.
Yeah, yeah,
it does. Maybe a tribute to Hillary.
Hey, do you think
it's a Hillary Clinton chicken suit?
Do you think at Christmas time they have like the ugly Christmas chicken sweater kind
of? Oh, that's a cool idea. Yeah. That's a very cool idea. 76-year-old Libby Kaplan said the experience has helped her overcome her fear of birds.
Oh.
One person I heard say there are more important things to do in this world, make things for people that need it. I think animals need to be warm, too, and I'm glad we did it. Now I'm not afraid of chickens.
Do you think they're going to be tweeting about it?
All right. No, that's just the segment had to end now.
But I'm
had to end now because you couldn't go. You couldn't prevent it. Couldn't stop yourself. No, you're not sorry. You meant to do it. It's 9:27. We're back after this on 720 WGN. I'm a little nervous, to be honest with you. Not about Northwestern. I'm nervous about our man Dave Innitt, because to bring it the way he brings it, the passion, the excitement, the best call in all of sports. I mean, you got to be healthy. And yesterday when we talked to Dave, he sounded like he had died 10 minutes prior to the call. So let's go to Dave Innitt now. Cross your fingers, live in Salt Lake City. How you feeling, Bunky?
Oh, much better, Steve.
Oh, thank God.
Wow, listen to him.
he's like a new man.
No worries. We'll be there. We're ready to go. When the ball goes up this afternoon at 3:30, we'll be ready to go 110%.
Did you find some illicit whiskey in Salt Lake City? Was that the deal?
No, I did not. As I told you yesterday, the athletic trainer for the Wildcats was able to provide me with some medication that appears to have done wonders.
Did he tell you what it was?
She showed me what it was. Yes, Jen Tim Q. She gave me Mucinex and decongestant and some Tylenol and
whiskey.
I feel much better. Must have been no whiskey involved.
Okay. All right. Well, as long as you're okay and ready to go, will you lay low now between now and the game so you don't strain your voice?
No. As soon as I get off the phone with you, I'm going to go get a workout in, and then it's my game day ritual. And then I'm going to go. The team has breakfast in a little while. I'm going to go grab some oatmeal.
Don't sit with the team.
No, I will. Well, there's plenty of tables.
Yeah, I mean, but you should sit over in the corner.
Mary Sandberg's thoughts of, you know, you're not going to get the team infected, don't do it.
No.
I don't think. I mean, there's been stuff that's gone around the team anyway, and other people traveling with the team, so I'm not the only one. If you're going to get infected, you're infected already.
You don't want to be patient zero. You don't want to be accused.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Any reason to believe they're not more ready than they've ever been?
No, I don't think so. I think they're very ready. I think that losing in the Big Ten semifinals on Saturday, while it certainly wasn't what they wanted, I think that it may turn out to have been a blessing in disguise because it gave them an extra day. And I think Sunday was emotionally draining, you know, so I think it took a day to recover from that, from Selection Sunday. But I think they're ready to go. I really do. I think the only question, Steve, is going to be how will they handle the pressure when they step onto the court for the first time? You know, this team has dealt with an awful lot of pressure already just getting to the tournament. But now they've got to deal with the whole thing of their first time out on the court. You see the road to the Final Four logos on the side of the court, the March Madness signs everywhere, and it's that the moment that they've dreamed about, and it's finally happening. How will they handle that? Will the shots go down early for them? I think that's going to be really important.
This is a good gym to shoot in, a bad gym to shoot in. What are we hearing?
Well, it's an NBA gym. And so it's the home of the Utah Jazz.
Okay.
And Northwestern's had a lot of experience this year playing in NBA arenas. They played two games at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, where they beat Texas and they just lost in the final few seconds to Notre Dame. They beat Dayton at the United Center. That was one of their biggest wins of the year. And then they won two games at the Verizon Center in Washington, D.C. last weekend, including a win over a ranked Maryland team. So they've had success in these NBA arenas. That doesn't always happen. Some college teams go in there, they don't play well. They don't shoot the ball well. But I think that it's hard to tell because they shot there yesterday. And, you know, it's one thing when you're making shots in practice. But I think the fact that they've played in those NBA venues and had success this year, that can only help them going into this game.
Dave, I don't want to be overly optimistic here, but we're talking about a Vanderbilt team. They shoot the three, right, 26 of them a game. That's an insane number, and they make 10. The Cats guard the three-point line really well. I think that's a good matchup for them. Am I nuts?
No, not at all. I mean, I think that their strength plays to one of the Wildcats' strengths. And I think if you look over the course of the season, the Wildcats gave up a lot of threes to Wisconsin on Saturday, obviously, but a lot of those came also when that game was sort of out of hand. But you look at games they've had, last regular season game against Purdue, one of the best three-point shooting teams in the Big Ten. They controlled them from the three-point line. They didn't let Michigan beat them at the three-point line, and Michigan is the top three-point shooting team in their conference. So, you know, I like their chances of at least controlling Vanderbilt from the three-point arc. It has been a strength for them. I think you look at guys like Scotty Lindsey and Vic Law and their athleticism and their wingspan and their ability to push a defense, to push an offense out there. Defensively, I think that it is a matchup which the Wildcats can use to their advantage.
Think it's going to be a close game?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Because nothing's easy.
How could it not be? How could it not take us right down to the wire
right,
and everybody's agonizing over the end? I mean, it would be too perfect to say, yeah, the Cats are going to get up by 10 and then just make free throws at the end of the game to put it away. But I think they have a great chance to win here today. Again, my only question is, how will they handle that first time out on the court in an NCAA game? But I think the fact that their coach has so much NCAA tournament
right,
experience as a player and as an assistant coach, I think he knows the drill, and I think he's been able to convey that to his players. And it's a veteran team. I mean, you've got two seniors and a junior class that's really good, and Vic Law, who's a third-year guy, essentially. Yeah, I think they're going to be okay.
I have you advancing at least two rounds, Dave, and I haven't even finished the whole bracket yet.
Boy, that's generous of
I
you.
I know. That's good. That's my faith in you. Well, and the team, too.
Well, it's not about the faith in me.
You're right.
It's about the faith in them.
Well, speaking of that, Dave, I don't want to cause controversy here, but there was a picture at center court of the whole team, the Northwestern family, and I was looking at it, and I didn't see you in there. I'm wondering if you took yourself out of the photo or if you just weren't included.
Oh, you mean because he's sick?
Yeah, well, right. I didn't know what was going on because I was looking for you,
Why
Dave.
Why were you not in the family picture?
Someone suggested that I run out there, but I didn't want to be that guy running out to kind of jump into the corner of the picture. Plus, I would have been in the back row, and I don't think you would have seen me anyway behind the players. So I just thought it's okay. Let them do this.
Do you think maybe they tried to set it up where you, patient zero, wouldn't infect anyone?
I think it's very not only possible, Steve, I think it's likely.
Likely. All right, so what's the rest of your pregame routine? You're going to work out, and you're going to get some breakfast. What else are you going to do?
Work out, breakfast, go over my notes. I have some interviews I have to go over for use in the pregame show today, and then I'm going to head over to the arena. I'm going to watch the first game with the top seed Gonzaga and get ready for our game. That's going to take us pretty much up to game time.
How do you plan on working in a plug for the Steve Cochran Show, your major employer?
Mm-hmm. Boy, I wish you'd ask me sooner because I have all my plugs already lined up. You know, I mean, Justin Kaufman called me last week.
Oh, did he? Oh, that weasel. And
Pete McMurray is doing a halftime interview with us.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Yeah,
well, maybe there'll be overtime.
Get out.
If there's three overtimes, I got a shot.
Hey, Dave.
I think so.
Dave?
Yes?
Go Cats. I'll say it to Andrea. Did you hear me, Dave?
Did you say
Go
that?
Cats.
Did you really say that?
So did Vanderbilt, the two Illini.
Ready, Dave?
Oh, my gosh.
Let's do it together.
Go Cats, Dave.
Go Cats.
Yeah, there you go.
You guys are the best.
All right, before you go, we need your final four and your winner. Stand by. We'll do it in just a second on 720 WGN. You are looking live at Dave and its post-nasal drip, live from Salt Lake. You got a big humidifier going in the room, Dave?
No, I don't. I could use one.
Did you have the turndown service, which includes the Vicks VapoRub?
They don't offer that at this hotel for
what?
Some reason.
What? All right. Now, I know you don't bet on the grids because, you know, you're doing the right games and stuff.
Right.
But can you give us a Final Four?
Yes. I'm going to defer, Steve.
Oh, you are?
to Northwestern's all-time leading scorer, John Scherna.
Okay, good call.
The career scorer in Wildcat history. He filled out his bracket.
All right, his
and
final
so
four?
I'm going with him. What's that?
What is his final four?
His final four is Kansas.
Yep.
Out of the Midwest, mm-hmm. North Carolina out of the South, mm-hmm. Duke out of the East, and out of the West, Northwestern.
Nice! And who's he got as a winner?
Then he's got, in the championship game, Northwestern defeating North Carolina. Go Cats.
Wow, can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I'll admit that's not a totally unbiased bracket, but what the heck? That's what this time of year is for.
And Dave, as fit as you are, I believe that game would kill you.
I think it would. I think it would.
All right, we know you got a lot to do. Go get them, and have a great call today.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks. See you later. That's Dave Ennett. All right, so let me go to Sandberg on this, commissioner of all things related to this. Mm-hmm. I just gave Sandberg something she wasn't expecting. I gave her my mother's new cell phone number. My mother has a smartphone now.
No, and your mother gave you the number? Wow.
No, I got it from one of my sisters.
I was gonna say.
And she's texting.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's crazy like that. She's out of control.
That's awesome.
So mom's picks will be coming in, but who you want to go to first, Amber?
I'm going to do me first.
Okay. All right.
Can we say the spot the purple winner? Did you say the winner?
I did not say the name.
Peggy from Rockford.
And what was the purple?
It is. She thought it was a tongue, but it's a number one on Mark Carmen's shirt.
Mm. Yes, the number one shirt for Northwest. Where'd you get that shirt?
This was courtesy of the Wildcats themselves, Steve. It's got the fight song on the back. I'd like to thank Paul Kennedy, Mike Pliske.
Do they sell that gear?
I believe they do. Okay.
That fonting, like their stuff they're wearing right now is really on point.
Yeah, it looks good.
Those warm-ups, I like. Really those guys look good.
All right, so you're going first. I'm not sure why, but who's going to challenge you?
I've got Florida, St. Mary's. Oregon and Kentucky. I have Florida winning.
St. Mary's?
I always pick with Mary has to go far.
Oh, I get you.
That makes sense, yeah.
Florida winning.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
81-77.
All right, who's next?
Mary Vandeveld.
Oh, man. Oh.
Well, you couldn't give me more time. I mean, I'm sitting up here. I'm trying to take care of the Ike. I'm trying to take care of...
All right, quiet. I have two brackets. I have two. I can't decide which one to go with.
All right.
Okay. All right, Steve Cochran while we're waiting. Steve
okay.
Cochran.
Go to somebody else.
All right. Duke, Arizona, Kansas, and Kentucky. Your final is Arizona, Kansas, with Arizona winning 91-89. Yeah.
Okay.
And I've got Northwestern winning two on the way.
You ready, Mayor?
Okay. I'll do it.
I mean, what was that? 5 seconds?
Okay. I'm going the four. Duke, Oregon, Gonzaga, UCLA.
That's five.
No, that's four. She said Gonzaga.
I said it twice. Duke winning it all. I don't know.
Who are they going to play?
Oh, Oregon.
75-72.
Okay.
All right, Andrea?
All right. Oh, so you want the winning bracket right now, Mary?
Yeah, go ahead. Give the
all
winning
right,
bracket.
Let's go. The winning bracket right here. Florida.
Yeah.
Oregon.
Yeah.
Gonzaga.
Yeah.
North Carolina.
God, you're 0-4. That's unbelievable.
Ready?
Who's your last two here?
Gonzaga, Oregon. I have Oregon winning it all, 77-75. Go Ducks.
Does CBS have the tournament again? They do, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. I think if your Final Four comes through and your championship game, Jim Nance will hang himself.
I'm telling you. I'm going to win.
Mark Carmen.
I have...
By the way, Carms, who is a basketball guru... And loves the game, eats, sleeps, and breathes it. I'm sure he couldn't possibly make a mistake. All right.
Yeah, no, this is spot on money here. Villanova, Arizona, Purdue, UCLA.
How dare you?
Purdue?
How dare you put Purdue
UCLA.
In there?
UCLA.
Hey, you got to have a little Big Ten representing.
But why not Northwestern if you're going to go that route?
Yeah, that's pretty traitor.
I wanted to not jinx the Wildcats
how
by putting them
there. How dare you?
Very Aaron Burrish.
UCLA, Arizona final. Arizona winning 83-76.
Okay.
Mike Jacobson?
I'm going to go with Villanova. Kansas, UCLA, and Arizona.
Final two?
Arizona and Kansas.
Wow.
And a different Go Cats. Arizona Wildcats.
Oh, look at that. You guys think Arizona's going to take that one.
Score?
That's Mike and I have the same championship game. What's your score?
I'm going to go with 77-60.
Oh, blow.
I think they're going to blow them out.
Kansas is losing to Michigan State, just so you know.
You guys remember 2005 when Illinois beat Arizona by 15 points?
Sure.
They're 15 points down with 3 minutes to go.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Just wondering.
I'll go with Grzanich's picks. I'll make them for him.
Okay.
Who's your final four then?
Final four will be the Oberweis School of Desserts.
Illinois.
The Red Wing School of Shoe Repair. That's in Red Wing, Minnesota.
I'm actually writing these down. Like,
Hofstra University, commuter school in New York.
And something with sauce or pizza or something.
And Lou Malnati's Pizza School.
Yeah.
Yes, those four.
Cooking school.
And the winner is Lou Malnati's.
Woo!
One shining moment. Let's take a break, come back, get it to Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.